I wonder, somebody is emailing and saying, I wonder if Tucker will ever talk about shedding Tucker Carlson. Yeah, I'm not sure. Well, he seems like he's pretty on it. He's got a staff that feels like they're on it. You know, they're not fooling around. And I know there's only so much he can do. But I think he's very eloquent in the way he says things and the way he doesn't get pigeonholed as a crazy conspiracy anti-vaxxer, the way he says it. And I think he's doing a great job. Very, very well done, Mr. Tucker. Very well done. Because you got to just, you know, get away with what you can. I wasn't ever that smart about it. I was always getting fired. Well, this shedding thing is, you know, it's we're early on it. But there are many, many reports from, like we talked to Melissa Sell. Hope you saw that video. We'll run it again this weekend. The little round table with Melissa Sell and Amanda Vollmer. Many reports of ladies just hanging with ladies who have had this vaccine. And there are reports, as you heard, with pro-vaxxers, docs, and that have taken the vaccine, that just a couple weeks after taking this injectable thing, it messed up their menstrual cycle. Just one hit. So they're concerned about that because they didn't tell you that. Might mess up fertility. Who knows what it's doing? If it's messing up your menstrual cycle, it's messing with fertility. Many people say, and I don't know if it's fear porn, but many people say, well, they just want to lower the population and they're going to make girls infertile. I don't know if that's true. It could be. You don't know. I mean, this has not been tested. It's not approved by an FDA. You can't, you know, you don't know. It's a crapshoot for sure. I think there's only been 100 million people taking this injectable thing, and you know, with the more stuff that's getting out there, and you know what's going on. Well, you don't know what's going on social media because they censor it all, right? What am I thinking? They're not letting any of this stuff out there. So people are just having to do it back and forth on emails. Oh yeah, Facebook, Twitter, they censor all this stuff. We've been kicked off of Facebook again for another 30 days. Just putting up the VAERS numbers. Their numbers. These people are sickos. May I interest you in this Brown's gas machine that we have, that I use every day of my life. Thank you very much, George Wiseman. It's a brilliant machine. It produces Brown's gas, which is a kind of a leveraged upscale form with structured water, molecular hydrogen. Brown's gas is, and molecular hydrogen, one of the all-time antioxidants ever. So we know the cause of disease now, and it's toxins, and it's poisons, and it's chemicals, heavy metals, right? And what do these do? These oxidize biomolecules in the body. That's what they do. So they take electrons and they steal electrons. They cause oxidation. And that's what causes disease. So that's why antioxidants are good. Fruits and all kinds of cool stuff. Well, hydrogen, go figure, is one of the all-time antioxidants ever. and you can breathe it, drink the water with a lifetime warranty, use it forever until you leave. So they're a little pricey. If you have it in your budget, though, use promo code ONERADIO and get 10% off. Molecular hydrogen, proven in peer-reviewed studies, lots of them, to be one of the best antioxidants and energy bunnies for our cells. And on a recent show, Dr. Mark Serkis, author of over 30 books, talks about it.
Just by being alive and eating, we have inflammation, and they have that inside the cells. Well, the hydrogen gas cools the fires that we, when we oxidize oxygen and food, is a byproduct, and these free radicals, and some of them are good, but some of them just hurt inside the cell. And the hydrogen stimulates the process and then cools it at the end of the process. So it's kind of a perfect medical substance.
Interesting. Well, now you can safely and easily get hydrogen gas, breathe it, bubble hydrogen in your water, drink it by getting an AquaCure machine that George Wiseman has worked on for a lot of years. I have one, and man, it works great. It's really fun. I'll be telling you more about it. Use promo code ONERADIO if you'd like to get one. Promo code ONERADIO. Check out the possibility of using PayPal credit with no interest if you're a PayPal person. The most amazing warranty I've ever seen. Lifetime warranty on the machine. 1 year, money back, no questions asked. If you don't like it, up to a year. Use promo code ONERADIO, 10% discount. In the store, oneradionetwork.com. Yeah, I think this is a really excellent technology, obviously. I think we've had ours, year and a half now? So use it a lot. I got an email the other day, said, you know, I'm not really getting a whole lot out of this hydrogen, I don't think. I kind of feel better, but not a whole lot. But I don't use it very much. So I typed back, I said, well, go ahead and use it. Oh, people are so funny. Yeah, you got to use it. I mean, you know. They're easy to use, easy to maintain, too. They have a little counter in every, I don't know, so many hours. I don't do mine nearly as much as I'm supposed to, but I don't think it really matters, you know. I'm doing great with it, but then you just dump it out and clean it out and rinse it out and boom. And you put in distilled water, and it's really cool. Promo code ONERADIO. Also, a 1 year money back guarantee. That's pretty zippity doodah. I just got a little email from Brandon on Shen Blossom. I think he's got something going on here for Mother's Day. Huh. Let's see what it is. Oh, they got a little deal where you can order the Blue Shield this weekend. So it's only this weekend. That would be through Sunday night on the 9th. So it's a short deal. But if you put Mama Love, if you want to get Mama Blue Shield thing and protect her, you get free shipping. That's pretty fun. So, kind of a short notice deal, but if you've been thinking about a Blue Shield, get it for yourself or Mama, and use Mama Love. That's kind of fun. Shen Blossom. Oh, so he's doing free shipping all weekend with all the different products, too. Oh, cool. So if you've been thinking about getting some Shen Blossom, be a good weekend to do it today. Go to Shen Blossom, Hoshu Wu, Medicinal Mushroom, Presence, Japanese coffee beans. What are that? A one-of-a-kind Japanese roasted coffee uses old-school stone roasting technique done by hand. Wow. The infrared energy and minerals from the stone imbue the beans with a flavor and energy. Oh, I want to get some of that. Oh, it's the coffee formula. Oh, I've had that. I thought it was actually coffee beans. Oh, yeah, you can get coffee, C-O-P-H-I-E. Shen Blossom is a great company. It's a really wonderful company. Check it out on OneRadioNetwork.com, and I think you'll like the experiences that you have with it.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
My mouse tried to attack me there. Well, good morning. It is the 7th of May. What is it? Wasn't May 7th kind of a famous date for history? 7 days? No, maybe there was a movie, 7 days in May, something like that. Was there a movie, 7 days in May? Here's an email from Carol. A dowsing doctor I know has checked every person entering her clinic. Those who test as having mutated DNA are those who have taken the shot. Really? There's also speculation that mRNA disconnects our RNA from being able to receive messages from source, God. Several of my friends are showing new signs of nervousness, edginess, and consistent tiredness post-jab. Not good. Post-jab. Post-jab. Any idea when the Pearlseum pod will be back in stock? No, I don't. I've emailed them and I haven't received a thing back, but you can just go ahead and use the capsules. That's fine. Shedding. Yeah, this is, I think, good. Let me see if I can get this one up here. Here's a phone call. We'll do this first. Good morning. Who's this?
This is Jeremy Hutchison from Ohio.
Hello, Jeremy Hutchison from Ohio.
I got to turn your volume off here on the computer. Hey.
Whereabouts in Ohio, Jeremy?
Near Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a career student of Temponi University.
Really? Really? We don't require vaccines here, so that's good, Jeremy.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah, I owe you much gratitude for all the content that you so generously put out.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Our pleasure. It's a great way to make a living, Jeremy. You know what I mean?
I bet, yeah. I had some thoughts on the whole germ theory.
Yeah.
Well, it started as a question. I was wondering, with like natural health remedies, they're presented in a context that validates the theory, like... so many herbs are antiviral and, herbalists will say that, herbalism has antiviral herbs, whereas, conventional medicine doesn't have anything for, my thought on that is that maybe the chemical constituents in the plants, signal vitality to the ecology.
Yeah. May very well be so, right? And it may be working on a cellular level, so the body is dealing with toxins, right? Chemicals, herbs, not herbs, but even poor thinking, you know, and helping the body to heal damaged tissue. And maybe the the term antiviral is possibly a misnomer. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. But I just don't see any evidence, Jeremy, that the virus thing is real. There just hasn't been. And I just haven't seen it. And I'm open. I'll change.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting to think about how those things work. Like you said, the plants probably help the body detoxify from whatever is actually
right
going on. But also, if they are seeing a shift in ecology from infectious to, what they call infectious to more beneficial, I think it's a really interesting idea that some of the organisms are pleomorphic, where they turn from one to another. And I'm generalizing, viruses and bacteria. If the viruses are, I'm assuming that at some point they saw a particle, right?
Well, the body, my understanding, Jeremy, the body creates viruses to heal, mm-hmm. right? And they're called exosomes. And they look exactly like this virus that they think exists, right? Mm-hmm. And my understanding through all the people we've talked to, and there's about 20 or 30, a growing number, that this is how it really works. And this is nothing new. I mean, this goes back a long time. People have talked about it, but they've never gotten much press, where the body just creates these things that they've called viruses to heal, right? From mm-hmm. toxins and poisons and poor thinking and whatever, air, water, food, heavy metals, right? Mercury. Mm-hmm. And then the body is creating these bacteria and which are already there, and viruses to clean the things up, to clean the body up, right? Like the bacteria does. Mm-hmm. And then we also then share these exosomes with everybody ongoing 24/7, and this helps upregulate everybody else, kind of like what the roaches do, right? Mm-hmm. If you spray a roach, then their family, their grandchildren, isn't affected by the same chemical. Isn't that curious?
Mm.
Yeah, they get immune from it because they probably just pass this along, the information, just like we do. And I think that's how we evolve. And I think that's how we were able to stay as healthy as we are with all the crazy stuff in the air and the water and the food. like Dr. Cowan says, if the virus theory really exists like they say it with, that we'd all be dead.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'd all be dead.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, with the viruses, it sounds like, I feel like I really don't have a lot to go on to even say if they're a signal or doing anything, or if they're just debris, just some kind of debris that's...
Yeah, me too, down. Jeremy. I'm just going on what people that I respect their opinion is saying, and I'll kind of go with that until I learn differently,
Mm-hmm. Well, a question that could be kind of pressing that you kind of bump up against is if there's a place where antibiotics really shine. I know Carrie Madej said that she's seen that, but Jennifer Daniels says that she's not.
Right.
And I really wonder if there's good observation that shows that somehow they just work or help in some situation.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't think that the studies of people really know for sure, but you'll find doctors that say, well, this person had viral pneumonia, right? And if we wouldn't have given them an antibiotic, they would have died. But would they have?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. I posed that kind of came up with the roundtable we did with Cowan and Kaufman about 2 months mm-hmm. ago, right? And mm-hmm. Kaufman says, no. Not necessarily. We don't know if they would have died because they give them the antibiotic and they say that's what saved them. But Kaufman says, I think he says what happens is this damaged tissue and these toxins, they just go deeper.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They just go, just like the strep throat antibiotic. Well, they say, well, the strep throat's gone. No, all they did was get rid of the healing process, and it's going to pop back up again.
Mm.
It's going to come back. All right? It's got to get out. It's got to do its thing. Just because you did an antibiotic doesn't mean that the damaged tissues in the throat, that's what the bacteria was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it goes along with even Massey and the recall healing, and where when we're healing is when we have the pain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we have pain, that's when the body's healing. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Not when we're not. It's not the. It's the best part, right? And we just kind of hang in there and eat chicken soup and drink water and rest a little bit. The body will figure it out. That's my take.
Yeah, it's insightful. I guess there's just some things that we need to just be with to get what we need from them.
I think so. I mean, I had classic, Jeremy, I had classic what's the stuff down the leg?
Sciatic?
Sciatic, yeah. See, I don't even hold this stuff in my mind anymore. I just let it go. Sciatic, remember, I don't know if you recall how long you've been a listener, twice. And I tell you what, I just stretched and did body work and looked at how I created it. And I worked through both of them. And it was tough. It was really painful. But I learned so much from that process because I was willing to do that rather than, you know, let them go in and like they do and, you know, cut the nerve and take the nerve off the whatever.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
No, they do it all the time, right? They do it all the time, and then it comes back.
Mm.
I've had a family member who came back 3 times because they go in and they you know, the disc gets pressed, you know, on the lower spine, and then it bulges, right, because of whatever, you know, poor posture. It's the body is so interconnected galactically, and then so it presses up against a nerve sometimes. And then they go in and then they take that, you know, they push it away from the nerve surgically. But that doesn't solve the problem because it's a whole, you know, systemic body thing.
So were you certain that that's where the impingement was coming from?
No. Actually, matter of fact, I would bet the farm, if I had a farm, that it was in just some muscles. That's where the impingement in mine was. Muscles.
Mm.
You know,
like the
piriform in the
deep,
booty, you know, in the butt,
the deep,
and, yeah, deep,
deep external rotators.
That everywhere, you know, could be anywhere, and you never know. You couldn't until you still stretch and stretch and loosen up and loosen up, and all of a sudden, you start to feel some relief, and you say, "Where is it coming from?" You know, I'm doing. I don't know if you have. I've been talking about it, Jeremy, for the last 3 months. I've been doing stretching virtually every day for 2 or 3 hours sometimes. Some deep yoga, and I'm seeing things moving in my neck when I'm working with my thighs or knee, you know, or hips, and all of a sudden the neck gets an adjustment, or my stomach, you know, my stomach does this weird like whoa relaxing thing from a hamstring or something. Whew.
Yeah, I've heard that the neck and the hips kind of reflect each other.
Yeah, it's all connected, brother. It's all hooked up. There's just no disconnect to any of it.
And did you figure out who's the matter? Who's the pain in the rear?
You know, I don't really care. I'm just really stretching. It's probably a girl, you know. But, you know, I have seen images and feelings and stuff pop up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and if you're really quiet, you know, and if you really pay attention, you can watch these things pop up and that are in there somewhere. It's great, man. It's amazing. Yeah, it's fun.
Hmm.
Do you do any stretching or any yoga? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of stuff that I carry with me wherever I go, you know. Pumping gas, stop at a rest station. You know, anytime I'm by myself, I
stretch
on a kind of
stretch.
Yeah.
Move.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, I like to take all those little exercises and things as sort of carrying tools.
Yeah.
Never bored that way.
You always have something. You always have something to move. I'm out there throwing the ball with Doodle, and I've got one of those. You ever see one of those things that look like a highlight thing, a chuck it? You put the ball in there, and you can throw it right. about 100 yards. And we go out every day. And while she's getting the ball, you know, I'm doing squats or something. You know, I just keep moving. You might as well, right? Rather than stand there, right? So that's what you do as well?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's a source of joy. I mean, I really enjoy movement.
Well, you sound healthy. What do you do for a living there?
I had been doing massage therapy, and I've kind of backed away from that a little bit. So I just do what I can here and there.
Yeah, here and there.
Yeah.
There's a fellow up in North Austin, and he's really big and strong, and he's the best bodywork guy. Oh my God. You can go for 90 minutes there, and he'll put you through some stuff that, really fun, you know, really deep. Mm. Yeah, really good.
Hmm. Do you know if he specializes in a particular modality?
He's always studying. No, nothing. I think he's just he's very intuitive, and he can just go to spots, and all of a sudden he'll put his hand on a little spot on your shin, you know, or your what do you call those things? Bands on the outer, what do they call those, Jeremy? On the outer legs, there's some kind of name. Anyway,
the IT band?
IT band, yeah. He'll just kind of find a spot, and he just feels it, and all of a sudden he'll just feel it, and oh yeah, that's good. Yeah, he's very intuitive, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really fun. But you know, I'm just telling you this not to brag, but just because it's so powerful. After maybe 3 months doing the deep stretching, Jeremy, I went to him and I didn't say anything. And he said, I've never felt your body in such good shape. And all the time you're going, because he remembers this guy. He said, never.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know what I'm doing, Jeremy. You know, I'm just stretching, you know, every little nook and cranny, whatever. Hip.
Well, you're putting your mind in there.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm totally focused.
I think there seems to be a big difference between using your body as a tool, you know, like digging a ditch or whatever.
Yes, sir.
And doing intentional movement where you're moving for the purpose of helping your body.
And then paying attention, right? And staying right there with it, not thinking about anything else except feeling that where you got to go. That's where the power is. That's where the juice is. Yeah.
Putting your mind in it.
Yeah, and that's the whole point of yoga. It's supposed to be yoga, which is the yoke of the mind-body, right? That's what they teach you. If you stay focused right there, nothing else, you'll feel exactly what to do and how, you know, where to go and how much to move and how much you can get away with. And you can go through a lot of pain when you're focused on it because it's just pain, you know? I mean, so.
Yeah. And the breathing is so.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to hold your breath.
All those advanced movement forms, you know, dance, yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, they all emphasize moving with the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it must have something to do with the way the subconscious, the mind is connected with the breath.
Yeah, there's I think it's an old, I don't know, I'm not a Buddhist, but if you control your breath, you control your life.
Oh, wow.
There's a saying.
That's a good one.
Yeah, one of those spiritual practices, yeah. Oh, it's really fun. yeah, man, I just, whew. I've never felt better.
From all the stretching.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have my body almost 75 years. I've never felt stronger or better or more clarity than I do today.
That's awesome.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy good.
You said you're 75?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've had my body 75 years, almost.
That's great.
Yeah, you know, the aging thing is a big scam.
I believe it.
They got that one, man. Man, they got this one. It's a big scam. Oh, he got disconnected. Maybe he'll call back. Yeah, it's a big scam. I hope he calls back. He was fun. Why it hung up on him. Is it his phone? I don't know how I lost you, Jeremy. Call back if you want. There's Jeremy. I don't know what happened there. It was probably just the NSA was checking in, Jeremy.
Yeah, I knocked my phone off the thing I had it on, so.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, just dropped it.
Yeah, we were talking about the thing called aging.
Yeah, people want to enforce that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Oh, you're getting so old, yeah. You know, it's like... Okay.
Any ache or pain, you know, you got sciatica or whatever, mm-hmm. You know, you're just getting old.
Oh, yeah. You hear people say it all the time, right? Oh, I'm getting old. I'm getting old. I do the other. I say the other thing. I'm getting young. That's what I tell my body.
That sounds like a good strategy.
Yeah, and I think it's the time thing, Jeremy, is the big one. If you believe in time, then the body ages. That's one of the big ones that I'm writing about in my book, and I think about. I think it just ages when you believe there's a time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I remember you saying at one point when you're making some kind of plan, like when you're thinking about something that's going to happen down the road.
Yes, sir.
That creates the time thing.
Well, that's right. So, in other words, if you say you meet a girl and you're going to have dinner with her next Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of looking forward to it. Said, yeah, she's cute. It's going to be fun. I'd like to get to know this girl, something good about her. And if you actually create space in your mind that next Wednesday is not now, which it is, because there is only now, if you create that space and you really buy into it, that there's some space there, and Wednesday is 5 days away, then at that when you create that space and you hold on to it, right, the body has to do something for 5 days because you've told the body you created 5 days, which is an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So the body has
to... Well, that sounds like a trade-off.
The body's got to age. It's got to do something. And if you got bad food or if you're not thinking good thoughts or something, it'll probably age during those 5 days.
Well, can you do something so that you can have that plan and anticipation and not create that time?
Yes, you just let it go. So you write it on your calendar, and you can even still anticipate, but on a deep soul level, when you know that Wednesday is not 5 days away, and, you know, then you don't really create it. It's got to be at a real knowingness, deep soul level.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
That's tricky. I think I'd have to work on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I've been working on my whole life. Yeah.
You have to know that it's now?
You got to know that it's now and live every moment that it's now.
Mm.
Every moment. Every moment. Boom. 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 Every moment that it's now.
So is it the same with the past then?
Sure. Yeah, because that's an illusion too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, if you lost a loved one,
that's tricky.
There's still someone that you carry in your heart, because
that's cool. No, there's nothing wrong with that. I do that with mom and dad, and you know, I visit with them in the dream state, so they're still around, you know, in a different reality. But if we, you know, it's just real tricky if we think about 10 years ago with them, I haven't really worked that one through. I just don't do that because I just kind of, I talk to my dad like I'm talking to you now.
Hmm.
Because he's still here, right?
Okay.
Just not in a body. Because soul doesn't die.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes on to a different reality. And maybe comes back here, or maybe another planet or someplace. You know what I mean? So I talk to my mom and dad just like I talk to them now. I've talked to a dog and a cat that I had that left their body. And, you know, I let them know every now and then if I see their picture, I'm going to start crying now. Don't get me. So if you want to come back and do it again, you know, I'm here. Let me know. And if they want to come, if they want to come back, and I did have a cat that came back, if they want to come back, they'll let you know somehow in your dream state, or you'll just kind of get, you know, intuition of going to the pound and picking up a dog, and they'll be there, you know, if you follow your intuition. But everybody has free will, so, you know, so I just, it's always up to them if they want to come back and do it again with me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I think early in the show, before I called you, you mentioned not having to come back.
Right.
Is that the goal? Is that?
Well, you know, I think the goal for me is just to say to God, Spirit, whatever you want to call it, do with me what you will. You know? I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Mm.
You know? Whatever you need me to do to help, the big picture, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may, you know, it could mean coming back. But, you know, so I don't like to get dogmatic about it. Because that's not right. If you say to God, well, you know, thy will be done, but, you know, I don't really want to come back here, then you're not really in, are you?
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying, okay, but, you know, unconditional love is unconditional. No conditions. So it's
unconditional love for your...
For God, for you, or for anybody else, or your partner. You got to love them unconditionally, even when they do stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you think is stupid.
Yeah. Well, if everything is now, that would include before this life, after this life.
You bet. That's right. Which is why we can't experience past lives, because they're going on right now. I know that seems a little wee-woo. In a sense, they are.
That's, well,
innocent.
I don't doubt it, but it's kind of hard for me to wrap my brain around that.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't worry about that one too much. You know, we're here now doing this lifetime, and that's all that's important. If there are some things that you would like to learn from a past life, you can just ask God to show you those. So, you know, and you'll see those.
Hmm.
But it's not important what we were. You know, unless there's kind of less.
Sometimes it seems to. It seems like it could. It could be important. I mean, I've heard of people that are, you know, very influenced by past
sure,
lives.
Sure. Yeah, they could be working out some karma here that they don't understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they see a past life and they say, oh, yeah, that's why I'm having this issue, you know, finding the right person or whatever, right? It can be helpful. And that's why working with a spiritual master who has got a state of consciousness that's exploded all over the place, which I do, they'll help. They can't do anything for me, but they can help to guide me to these past lives that will help me. So that's what spiritual teachers do who become God-realized and leave this body. Then they work with other people to help them to make their road a little bit easier, a little bit better. People call them angels or guides, but they're all over the place, you know, helping people.
So it's a spiritual master that's no longer in a body that you work with?
No, my spiritual master, he does have a body.
Oh.
Does have a body, but he embodies a state of consciousness called the Mahanta state of consciousness that is the most expanded. It's always been around since the beginning of time, because there, how do you say it? So since the beginning of time, there has to be a state of consciousness that knows everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's a state of consciousness. So if you take, what if I could see everything, every molecule, everything, and know everything? That's a state of consciousness. And that state of consciousness has always existed because it exists, right? So God has always put a spiritual master that has embodied this state of consciousness in a body since the beginning of time, an unbroken line of masters through its mercy to help people to connect up with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And can you ask this master anything that you want to know about?
Everything. Because this master, this state of consciousness, embodies me and you, so it's right there with us, and we're actually part of it already. So it's not separate from us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's outside of me, and it's almost like this, it's right there with us, but it's not separate, but it is. It's just a state of consciousness that you and I can delve into every moment of our life, and that's the deal. That's why we're here, to allow this state of consciousness to really consume us, and this is who we become. We become spirit, and this is what Jesus talked about in all spiritual paths, and this is what Jesus did. He allowed God to consume him. But he's not the only begotten Son of God. We all are, right? That was just kind of
What does that mean to be consumed?
In other words, by God? To let go of all of the ego, right? Patrick, the talk show host, and blah 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 blah, which is not who I really am, and just use that to navigate on planet Earth to earn some money and whatever, you know, have a show. But other than that, to let spirit do everything for me as long as I show up. But you know what I mean? But you just can't sit around and want spirit to do stuff for us. It's, you know, if spirit if it would be good, let me put it this way, if it would be good for the whole, for me to do a talk show or to write a screenplay or to write a book or whatever, I've got to do it. I've got to sit there and download it. You know, so we're really just working on channeling spirit, which is peace, love, hippie beads, and beauty, and balance, you know, and compassion, and love, and all the good stuff, which is what we're made out of, right? So the more we can channel divine spirit, the happier we're going to be, because, I mean, it's much more fun than anger and fear and, right?
Yeah.
So we just kind of let the spirit kind of consume us, right? Just kind of consume us. So the only thing that's left is Jeremy and Patrick, just the name and... Yeah. That's the whole... I think that's why we're here. And that's how we could reach what would be called God realization. So we experience God, everything... And then we still have a body, and then we can, you know, take it out for a spin and see what it'll do. See how we could help the whole. But I'm really seeing that it doesn't make sense to die or leave the body and come back to, you know, to help more, right? I've really saw the last 10 years, why not just stay here? Why leave?
In the last 10 years?
Well, you know, just the last 10 years, I've really got clarity that, you know, the body doesn't have to age. I can keep it as long as I want. So why die, come back, go through that whole thing again to help, you know, if people are going to need help 10 years from now, which obviously planet Earth is going to need this kind of conversation to happen, right? So people can grow, just stay here.
Yeah. I mean, we have self-preservation kind of built in. There's a tendency to want to hang on as long as you can.
Right? Well, and it's more than that. I know we can, because, once again, the only reason the body ages, the only reason we get sick, is because we don't understand that we are spiritual beings in a body. And once we really get that and believe that and know it and live it, which I'm learning to do every moment, you know, nothing can hurt you.
Well, there's certainly legends of people that are
sure
that live to be hundreds of years old. You know, I would have no way to validate that.
Well, I wouldn't either, except that I work with a teacher called Rebazar Tars, that he's had his body about 600-700 years. Some of the masters that I work with have their body 1,000 years, and they can manifest their body.
Well, where's this guy live? How can I get in touch with him?
Oh, my teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, his name is Harold, believe it or not. Harold Klemp.
Oh, is he also called Rebazar Tar?
No, that's a different, he's a different soul.
Oh, I see.
Harold Klemp is the Living Eck Master. He has a body, but he works with me and millions of other souls on the inner planes, where we actually see him, talk to him. So he manifests as a body. So it's just an easier way to work with divine spirit, because it has a body, and then he also writes books and gives talks every now and then. So it's just an easier, it's just a gift from spirit, right, that he has a body. But it's important, because that's the whole magic behind where you've heard different paths, like the Dalai Lama or Buddhist, the unbroken line of masters. You've heard that?
Not really.
Well, but they're just all spin-offs off of what the teachings of Eckankar are. There are just spin-offs of that. But Eckankar, or it's now being called Eckankar, but it's been taught in different names for a million years. You know, it's just been different names. now the name of it is brought out in the 60s. But it's all been the same thing. It's all divine spirit manifest in a body, because you have to have a body in physical reality to make the deal work. That's just the way it works with physical reality.
To make the whole
connection work as efficiently as possible, because you have a body here in the physical.
You mean the connection between teacher and student?
Well, the connection between divine spirit and student. When there's a body here, it all works easier, more efficiently, and more effectively. But a lot of people are working on the same level and the same experience as I am, and don't really maybe even know about Harold. But they figured it out on their own too. It's just easier when you know what's going on.
So does Eck come from a particular part of the world? Is that associated with like Hawaii or some particular place?
No, it's been taught, like I say, since the beginning of time. I think the first Eck master was, I don't know, a million years ago or something. His name was Zadok, I believe, Zadok. But there's always been one. And they've always worked with different people, like Jesus studied under Eck Masters for a while, did a little spin-off and didn't stay with it, did his own thing, and just reached Christ consciousness, which is a very high state, but there's more, there's higher, more expanded. So everybody just kind of gravitates to the teacher that works for them at the time, and they're all good, and it's all great, and there's no judgment against one is higher than the other. It just depends on what the person wants, to experience, and how keen they are to really understanding the game, and truth, wanting to know truth.
Yeah, those things are pretty outside my experience. I've come across, things like that in books and heard people talk, but I don't really have that kind of experience to access Ascendant Masters or...
Well, you can if you want. It just takes effort and interest, desire. Starts with desire, interest. Then you look into it and you explore it. If it's something that seems interesting, you can go to ekinkar.org and they'll send you a couple of books. And I don't get any points for getting people on the team, but, you can. And it might be something that's, wow, this is makes sense to me. I might give this a whirl, and you can join up, I think, $100 a month and a year, and then they send you discourses, and you begin to study, and you begin to learn how to soul travel and learn how to leave your body, and that's where you learn, and you just work into it. And you get to the point where you actually can look and see what's going on, which is what I've been blessed to be able to do the last really 20 years, to see. So it's not just, reading something and believing it, because that's worthless. Right? You know what I mean? I mean, not worthless.
Absolutely.
But it's not worth anything. Well, it is worthless. if you just believe something, if you just believe you're going to go to heaven, or you just believe you're going to go to hell, or if you just believe you're going to do this, you don't know. You want to know. You know what I mean? You want to know.
Yeah, it becomes much more relevant through experience.
I'm sorry?
It becomes a lot more relevant through experience.
Well, it is relevant. Otherwise, it is not relevant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just not relevant. It's kind of like the virus thing. It's either there or it's not, you know. You either know, right, by looking and seeing, or you don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why this whole virus thing is much more for me, Jeremy, of not just, you know, hearing Cowan or Kaufman or Vollmer and Sell and Lanka and all these people saying there's no virus. I've seen it from a spiritual perspective, and I absolutely know that nothing can nothing. The only thing that causes my body any harm is my thoughts that are out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing.
But yet, the institutions that people are plugged into have managed to override people's direct observation.
No doubt about it,
right,
brother. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's pervasive in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's going on, really, right? People just believing mm-hmm. whatever. Doctors. Yeah. That's why everybody's sick.
Yeah.
Most people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a real challenge. It's a challenging thing to engage with, coming from an outside perspective.
Well, you have the ability here now to do it for yourself. And that's the only way you can really help people, if that's what you'd like to do, serve. The only way.
To
learn it yourself, to get it yourself, to become self-realized, God-realized. And then, you know, then who knows? Then the world is your oyster. You can do whatever you want that makes you happy, and you'll be serving people, serving other souls, which is the only reason we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You probably get that. You've been in the healing arts for a long time. You get that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the only reason we're here.
To help other people.
Sure.
Help each other.
When they want help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they want help. Not to grab them and say, let me help you, or knock on their door. No, not that way. But when they, you know, you've been very open and available and interested in this conversation. Otherwise, you know, I wouldn't. None of this would have happened. But it was you that created it, not me. Never would happen without you.
Co-create.
Well, you brought it into existence because of your desire, because of your questions, because of your openness to understanding. That's everything.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it into existence.
Yeah.
It never would have happened without you. This conversation never would happen without you.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember Melissa Sell talking about taking full responsibility for your experience, I guess.
Yes. Absolutely. Every bump, every wart, every pain, everything. Pleasure.
So what did I do to bring on the Great Reset? Is there something I could have done different?
Well, you know, I don't know. No, I mean, it's a work in progress. You know, who knows? So just kind of jump in and look at it and see how you fit into it and say, What's the lesson here? Ask God, what, you know, I don't even know what it is. I mean, I've talked to so many people, I have no clue what these people are up to.
Mm.
But it doesn't matter, does it? Really? We're going to be fine. Aren't we?
Well.
We'll be fine. So they give you a Fed coin instead of a paper dollar, so we'll deal with it, you know. We'll use it.
It's pretty uncomfortable. It feels like, losing freedom.
Losing freedom. So tell me, how would you lose freedom? How would you lose freedom? I'm interested.
Well, if it's, what's the terminology for the, control grid where it's like a social credit.
Right.
A social credit system where different behaviors are incentivized or disincentivized.
Right.
Through the digital currency to the point where where an individual is played like a robot or something.
Yes, sir. That's their plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan. And I think I think the trick will be you just don't take their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take their stuff. I think it's going to be tied into people who get the free stuff. But otherwise, I don't think it's going to matter what your social score is. I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
You'll just be using a Fed coin, which is a blockchain dollar, rather than, it's all digital anyway, right now, Jeremy, huh? 97% mm-hmm. of the dollars are all digital. They're just blips on a computer anyway. They don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's true, but so it's always been kind of a mix of the type of system that you'd want to be in and a type of system you wouldn't want to be in.
It's always been bonkers.
Most people are.
Article one
seems to be taking it to a new level, but
oh, it is. Yeah, and that's what they mm-hmm. Article one, section 10. What is it? Let no state make anything but gold and silver a payment of debt. The founding fathers knew the lunacy of fiat currency. That's why they put it in there. First article.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we've moved away from it ever since. And they made gold illegal to own in 1933. And then Nixon took the dollar mm-hmm. off the gold standard in 1971. And now we've got, 35 trillion in debt, 150 trillion of unfunded liabilities, and billions of dollars being printed every day. It's crazy. So we just have to, just figure out how it works, like we try to teach you here, and then not get eaten alive.
Yeah.
By the giant squid called the central banks.
Mm. Am I still in? Oh, got quiet for a second. Yeah, it seems like we are getting eaten alive, to be honest.
I'm sorry?
It does seem like we're getting eaten alive, to be honest.
There are forces that want to. Yeah, there are forces that want to.
Vaccine passports.
And all that stuff.
Such.
We just may have to change our behavior for a while. I think it's going to run its course. I think there'll be millions and millions of people that won't put up with it, eventually won't fly. And, I think it'll just be a passing fancy, and we'll come out of it with more freedoms than we've ever had. So we just may have to go through a time where we drive instead of fly.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to learn to be more independent and have a more of a connection to our food source, which...
Yes, no doubt.
Which is a pretty big gap there to try to leap.
Do you have farmers markets where you are?
Yeah, Cleveland is very fortunate in that regard. I think it's probably a better local food movement than most places.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, boy, support them.
Marjorie Wildcraft's Grow Network is she's doing another summit soon, but she tells her story about how she got into that. She was in Texas and she wanted to start a program for the elementary schools to source all of their cafeteria food with local food.
Mm-hmm.
And she pulled in all the right people, lots of enthusiasm. The funding was coming in, and they sat down and they came. They realized that the not just their county, but the surrounding ones all combined could not provide enough local food for that one elementary school. And she says, you know, she was just shaken to the core by that realization. And that's the situation, I guess, more often than not around the country. So we'd kind of be starting from the ground up if we have to take responsibility for our own food.
Yeah, I think all the best we can do is do your own. You know, I bought some tomato plants from mm-hmm. the farmer's market yesterday and gonna do them on my porch. I got a big garden raised bed, but here in Texas, the water it requires to do it, it just doesn't make sense to do it. I just go to the farmer's market right now. But just do what you can and support the farmers and take care of yourself and help your friends when they want help and see where it all goes. But this whole idea of organizing people and doing a community and all that peace, love, and hippie beat stuff we thought about 50 years ago, it really doesn't work.
No?
No. You got too many people that want to do different stuff. I would never get into some community like that. It'd be crazy.
Oh, like a commune.
Yeah, anything like that. Just... You know, every soul has free will, and they just want to do these stuff. Would be I've seen these things, Jeremy, over the years, and they get so political, they all fall apart. They all fall apart. It's just egos get involved. You know, it's just.
But the farmers markets have a sense of community,
right? Oh, that's a wonderful, yeah, sure they do. And they get along, but they're all still separate. You know, they're all separate. They all grow their own things and do their own things. And some of them get certified organic, some not. But and as long as the people running the farmers market don't get too hands-on and don't try to control things, everything goes fine.
mm-hmm.
You know? But as soon as they start trying to control stuff and make people do this or that, then they'll gum up the works for sure.
Oh, yeah. I think we've seen that where I live.
That's right. That's right. See, it may sound selfish, but really the only thing we can do for real is take care of ourselves, get strong, help anybody that wants help.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not selfish. I mean, that's just the way it works. It's just the way, you know. And now they're telling people that if you don't get a vaccine, you're selfish because you... Did you see that? Did you hear that thing on Tucker that we ran, that tape?
Yeah.
Crazy, huh? These people are bonkers.
Yeah.
They're just bonkers. God love them. They're just bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you own all the media like they do, and they're gonna run this thing. They're gonna run this thing until enough people say no. You watch them.
Mm-hmm.
You think?
It looks that way. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I heard a couple of people mention India. I don't watch the news. I don't know what's going on in India in terms of a lot of people dying there from something.
Well, from something. From something. It's so it's Maybe such a vaccine. Challenge there. Oh yeah, it could be the vaccines. It could be the tests. Their culture is so screwed up as far as their freedoms. Their sanitation, their foods, it's just powering into cities, you know, living on top of one another.
Mm.
It's a tragic what's going on in India.
Mm.
But they, you know, these people fell into this whole Eastern yogi, sit under the tree, no mind, boom. And then what happens? God love them. You got to work. You got to do stuff. You got to take responsibility. But the yogic whole Eastern people go to India to find these yogi teachers. They don't. They're nice people and they got beards and they're wonderful, but they don't know what they're talking about. In my opinion, they are so far away from real spirituality. We are soul, we are soul, and we've got to create everything with spirit. If we don't do it, it doesn't get done. Spirit needs us just like we need them. But the yogic kind of, all those teachings, you know, this is what happens to a country like that. I mean, look at, they all have gurus over there. Is it doing them any good? You know, look at the politicians they create, worse than ours. That's possible.
So
just getting a quiet mind,
things.
You know, the yogic thing, getting a quiet mind, that's just the beginning. And then you have to realize that your soul, you have a responsibility to support yourself, to take care of yourself, and to get your act together, and see what's really going on. See what the truth is, why we're here, and all of that. All the yogi people, they don't talk about that stuff. You know.
Is that a scene that developed in response to, Western interests, tourism and stuff? Or is that inherent to...
I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're asking.
Is that inherent to... the culture there, or do you think that mindset of
quiet mind,
not acting in the world? Yeah, does it quiet mind and spiritual bypass kind of thing?
I'm not sure. I'm just not that smart. That's above my pay grade. But the Hindu idea, you know, some of the Ek masters talk about the idea of becoming the quiet mind and becoming, you know, just quiet. That's a trap. You know, then you got to get your act together. You know, that's the trap. And that's what I think the Hindu culture fell into. That's all you had to do is get quiet, and you do your little thing, and you do your mantra, and you go to the monasteries, and you know, you hang around, and okay, well then what? What are you doing there? You know.
So I guess my question was: is that historically part of the Hindu culture, or is that a recent thing?
I don't know.
From the phenomena of yoga going, you know,
Yogananda. No, I think it'd possibly be back from the beginning. Probably just Hindu has always been like that, you know. It's just been a spin-off of truth that people have bought into, billions of people over thousands of years. But it's just, it's not all the way there, wherever there is. you know.
And my only other input on the troubles of India is, because I don't know much about it, is just hearing Vandana Shiva talk about the imposition of industrial agriculture, the Monsanto, all the farmers committing suicide with the self-germinating seeds and stuff like that.
Sure. But all these things, in my opinion, were just Spirit's way to have these people wake up.
Mm.
Just like COVID is now, and glyphos is now, and injectable things. This is Spirit's gift to us. Wake up, dude. Dudette. Is this what you want?
Hmm.
This is why these things happen.
Yeah.
This is why they happen. Not to punish the people.
Yeah.
But it's their karma. They created it because they wanted to wake up. But most people don't, so they just die.
Huh.
And we've all done it. I'm not criticizing. You know, we've all spent lifetimes. We went through it, right? And we didn't really get the message, and we just died, and we came back here. What, back here again? Some baby's body doing the puberty thing? Come on. Oh, my God. I don't want to do that again.
Hmm.
It's great.
Well, there's a lot to love here.
A lot to love, baby. And, I really appreciate the call. It was great fun talking to you. I had a great time. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, really? Really did. I appreciate your openness and inquisitiveness. And yeah, you're on the right track, man. You just keep asking, Jeremy. Keep looking for answers. Ask God to guide you. Show me the way. I have a little thing that says, show me thy way, so Sugmad. Sugmad is our name for God. Sugmad, Sugmad. I'll repeat it. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truths and teach me. On thee do I wait all day. Remember, O beloved, thy guiding light and thy loving care, for it's ever been thy will to lead the least of thy servants unto thee. So I say that like two or three times every day, and mean it. Show me the way.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on here? Mm-hmm. Where am I going? Show me the way. Well, just a little caveat, too, that what you can actually experience is you can actually experience the light, right, and experience the sound of God. Not think about it, read about it, but experience it.
By going out in nature?
No, by doing spiritual exercises and going within.
Ah.
And you can see the light and hear the sound. And the sound comes in many different flavors depending on which reality you're on.
Uh-huh.
So you can begin to actually hear God and see the light of God, which is all really God is in physical reality, Jeremy, is the light and the sound. So that's why I concur as the spiritual paths of the light and sound.
Mm.
And then the light purifies and the sound purifies. It's cool stuff. It's the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went through a lot of paths this lifetime before I came upon it.
So you have some awareness of past lives?
Yeah, a few. I think three or four.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
One, I've always been... this lifetime, I've been a kind of revolutionary, you know, constitutional guy, freedom, you know, independent, libertarian, you know, taxes are unconstitutional, that stuff. I've always been this lifetime. So I guess about 10 years ago, I experienced a past life, and I was running on the top of the castle. Say you have a castle. And I guess there's a thing called a turret or something where you could actually stand and you're about shoulders high so you could see you shoulders above the castle. So if you're outside the castle, you could see Patrick standing there on a turret. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I was running there, and I had these white, fluffy kind of things around my neck. And I looked online. I think that's around 1,400, 1,500, something like that. I don't know. You can see the pictures of them. And I was running along this turret, and I had this white paper rolled up, and I had my arms up, and I was screaming, "We will not pay these taxes!" So you know, I came in this lifetime, I don't know how many I have been in between then, into this lifetime being a bit of a revolutionary and knowing that taxes were unlawful and illegal and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we do. We carry these things forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was good to have the experience because I didn't kind of understood and said, no wonder I've been so constitutionally feisty this lifetime.
Yeah, you know, that spirit of sovereignty, liberty, I think was really embodied by the people in North and South America, you know, before the Europeans.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that impression?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that history that well. Meaning, way back when the blacks ruled things. Is that what you're talking about?
In North and South America, the First Nations, you know, Iroquois, Haudenosaunee.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because. Did you ever hear of that book? It's called something 1492 before Columbus.
I've not.
Talks about.
No.
I listened to it on audio a while back, but I just remember the author saying that the people that were in North America before Europeans came were the embodiment of liberty.
Huh.
It was like people really understood what it meant to just walk free and not be beholden to
anybody.
The government.
Yeah. And I think there's a deep spiritual truth there, Jeremy, that as soul, who you and I are, right, spiritual beings, the number one thing that we know, love, and believe is true is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom to go anywhere. This reality, that reality, this reality. Do whatever we want to do as long as we don't mess with other people. Have you heard Richard Mayberry on our show?
Yeah.
Yeah. The two laws.
Yeah.
That's a very deep spiritual law. The two laws. Do all you have agreed to do and do not encroach on other persons or their property, right? So we're free to do whatever we want to do. Anything, just so we don't mess with people's stuff, mess with their body, right? And do what we agree to do, right? I'm gonna borrow $100. I'm gonna pay you back. I'm gonna whatever. I'm gonna work for you for X amount. I agree to do this. Or whatever agreements you have with people, those are the two basic laws, and the whole common law thing. That's what they're based on. Those two laws, Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And so those laws, where do you see those laws coming from? Do you see them as
from God,
being divine?
Right. Yes. That's where natural law came from, right? Because they came from God, spirituality, knowing that we are all free to do whatever we want to do, anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we don't mess with other people and their stuff, right? And if we choose to interact with them on some level, to do whatever we agree to do. So those are the basis for tort law. And what's the other one? Criminal. The two law. What? I'm spacing out on the two laws right now that Richard Mayberry talks about. And what's interesting, I think you'll find this interesting, that I first learned of Richard Mayberry from from Harold Klemp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 40 years ago. He mentioned the two laws, and he mentioned Richard Mayberry. And then I looked Richard Mayberry up and began getting his newsletter, because Harold knows that those two laws are just the essence of spirituality.
Mm-hmm. So are common law, God's law, natural law, are those all the same thing?
Yes. My understanding.
And they might be God's law, but they don't really seem to be enforced by God.
No, God doesn't enforce anything. No, God doesn't. God doesn't enforce stuff. God doesn't get involved with all this stuff. You know? God doesn't do politics. God doesn't. Spirit doesn't do anything. Spirit only works through us, souls, and we do stuff. But spirit doesn't do stuff outside of us. So it's kind of funny that, you know, I was brought up Catholic, and we would ask God for stuff, and it's just a big scam. You know, God doesn't do stuff for us. We do it for us. It has to go through us. You know, God doesn't do things outside of us because we're not outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
There's no separation between us and God. We are little gods.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea that there's a God up in the clouds with a beard is, okay, well, not true.
Well, things would be a much happier place, I think, if people adhered to
the two laws. The two laws. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, paradise,
you
right?
Know, how do we get there?
You get there. That's all you can do, brother. You get there. You get there, you live your life like that, and then you start doing things that really make you happy. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
My teacher talks about that. That's the reason we're here, is to be happy.
Mm.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So you just find out what you really want to do, what you really like to do. Hang with the people you really want to do. And obey those two laws. And you'll find your way you'll find your way to all kinds of happiness that you never even believed possible. Because you have freedom then, right?
I like to think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, it's been an awesome conversation.
Awesome. Patrick. Thank you for calling, man. This has been great.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you so much.
I'll keep tuning in.
Yeah, my love to you, and may the blessings be, and you let us know if there's anything we can ever do.
All right, thanks so much, Patrick.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Likewise.
Bye. First time we talked to him. Whoa. It's 1:00. This is great. From Carol. It said that viruses go to different organs and eats holes in them. If I'm going to be eaten, I'd rather be consumed by God. There you go. That's right. It's all God. And you know what's cool about it? It is good to ask God for stuff, you know, like a pony or wisdom. But just so you know, God always knows that's what you want, so you don't even have to ask, but it's okay. Because we're little gods. I know that's blasphemous to say that to some people, but we are. This separation idea is what somehow, somewhere, religions from the beginning of time started to separate God, man. And then the games began with religions. Then the priests came in there and the gurus, and you needed them to connect you up with God. You just don't. If you get to get some real authentic masters, they can help guide, not do anything for you, but guide. You know, like, check it out, check that out. Get really connected. Check that out, Patrick. But then we have to do it. I think it was Woody Allen that said, all you got to do is show up and then do the work. So I would encourage you, Patrick, to really get in touch with what you want to do the rest of your life to really make you happy. Figure out and do it. I don't know. Whatever it is, figure it out. Take classes. Take webinars. I mean, I'm learning how to write a screenplay. I've been learning for, I don't know, started 20 years ago. And I'm still working on my first screenplay, and it's getting pretty good. It takes a long time sometimes to learn something and get it well. It might, who knows how long it'll take before you sell one, but it doesn't matter. You just keep working at it and working at it. And I think it was the, who was the fellow that did McDonald's? Was it Ray Kroc or whoever started it? Persistence. Warren Buffett talks about that. Oh, Warren. He got a few billion up there. He's done pretty well. And he's given most of it away. God love him. Well, kids, what do you say? I'm getting a little hungry. There's a fellow at the farmer's market. He has these piggies that are totally, absolutely natural. Chemical doesn't even go near that place. And he feeds them all fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. No GMO corn, none of that. And I've been getting bacon from him. OMG. Whew. This bacon tastes like unlike any bacon ever had. And I'm talking about, you know, the organic bacon you can get from the hippie food store. I think Ray Pete alluded to it, it's the feed that's really the key. They don't do grains, and it's just all vegetation that they feed the pigs. I think I'm going to go down and have me a smoothie. We've been doing Grotein from Shen Blossom. It's a wonderful product that's made from bamboo pith. Grotein, Shen Blossom on our website. And then some coconut milk and bee pollen, mango or cherry, some cacao. Well, I'm starting to yawn a lot. Well, quick little thing here about next week. And then we'll move on down the road, little doggy. Doodle's hot here. Dude's laying here and she's have to go outside too. We're going to get in some really deep history of these United States on Monday. Talk about organics, organic certifications, all the organic thing on Monday. Dr. William Wong, hormones, some of the shedding things. He's a real hormone expert kind of guy. One of the foremost cannabis doctors out next week. Penny Kelly. Do you know Penny Kelly? She's a trip. She'll be here next Wednesday. Richard Massey, Ray Pete, a week from Monday. We got some cool people. So thank you for your ongoing support. I just really appreciate being able to make a living, support ourselves doing this. It's just great. I'm very grateful. Just so grateful. I love you all very much. Thank you. Have a nice weekend. Doodle says hi. Don't forget, give your pet food, your pet, the best food you can. If you can't do totally organic, at least get the best you can and bless it. And let your pet know that you're doing the best you can and you'll be fine. Really, it's very powerful, blessing the food. Very powerful. It works. I love you guys. May the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.